2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read verses 17 through 21 together. Hang on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? For he hath made to him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Lord, thank you for the word of God. I pray that you would do that which I cannot do. Would you please meet the needs of each and every person here today? Lord, thank you for your word. Help us as we focus on a truth today, a little gold nugget, a wonderful little truth that we might get what you have for us today. God, we stand before you needy. I pray that you'd help us. Please use us, use the choir as they sing to be a blessing. Help them. And Lord, may we be more like you and less like ourselves when we leave today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a verse I want you to look at again, verse number 20. And this is the key to what I want to say today. The Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Right. We are ambassadors for Christ. Let me ask you a question. What kind of ambassador are you? When a person gets saved, more happens to them than they know took place. Amen. You see, everybody listen to me for just a moment. I'll cover some old territory for those of you that have been here, new territory for visitors, maybe. All of us are sinners. All of us, because we're sinners, we deserve to die and go to hell.
That's right.
You're looking at a sinner that deserves to die and go to hell. But 47 years ago, as a four-year-old boy, I knelt and got saved.
Amen.
I trusted Jesus Christ. I realized I was a sinner. Realized because I was a sinner, there's a penalty on sin, and that is death and hell. So, well, I don't believe in hell. Doesn't matter. God said it was there.
Right.
Doesn't matter what you believe. You can say, I don't believe in gravity, but if I drop that bottle, it's going to fall. You don't have to believe it to be true. There was things I didn't believe that my mom and dad told me. I remember them saying, oh, one day you're going to thank me for this. Yeah, right. And when it came out of my mouth as a parent, I called them back and said, sorry. You're right. I didn't believe it then, but I believe it now. You see, when a person gets saved, though, they have to go from trusting their own righteousness, their own works, what we do on our own. By the way, there's only two kinds of religion in the world. There is a religion that you do something in order to merit heaven, or that it was already done by Jesus and you accept it by faith.
Amen.
I don't care if you put Buddha's name to it or Muhammad's name to it or Shinto or you name it. Doesn't matter the religion. It's either you earn your own righteousness or you accept what Jesus Christ did for you and that
Amen.
Alone.
Amen.
You don't get to heaven because you're a good person. Amen. None of us are good enough. That's why we're all sinners.
Amen.
You don't get to heaven by being baptized. I believe in baptizing folks. We had one baptized last week, and we baptize folks all the time around here. Can I tell you something? You can get baptized in every baptistry, every pond, every creek, every river, till you know every tadpole by name and still die and go to hell.
Right.
Thief on the cross got saved but never got baptized. You can go to heaven without being baptized.
Amen.
Baptism is an act of obedience.
Right.
You can join every church that you want. Joining a church doesn't get anybody saved.
Right.
That's like saying, well, I go to church, so I'm a Christian. If you were born in a garage, it doesn't make you a car.
Yep. Amen.
Is that not true?
True.
Now, some of you make noises like a car. Anyway, I'm not going there, fellas. You see, we get saved by trusting Jesus Christ and what he did for us at Calvary. See, he was born of a virgin. You haven't been done that. He lived a sinless life. You haven't done that. He was crucified and shed his blood for us, died, was buried, and resurrected. You didn't do that. Guess what? We need a Savior.
Amen.
And Jesus did all of that. You don't get it by what you do. You simply say, I can't get it on my own. I need you to save me. Lord, I accept what you did for that. Boom, at that moment, the Bible says,
Amen.
You get saved. That's what being born again is all about.
Right.
Did you know when you were born, you didn't do anything? You didn't do anything to get conceived or born.
Nope.
Somebody else did it for you. In John chapter 3, Jesus looked at Demas and said, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You can't do anything except what Jesus Christ. Did you know you couldn't stop being born?
That's right.
Once you get saved, you can't stop being saved.
Amen.
You can't lose it. Because you didn't do anything to get it except trust him. My mom and dad are here. I've been in their household for 51, almost 52 years. Can I tell you something? Whether I make them happy or whether I make them sad, whether I make them proud or whether I make them disgusted, I'm still their kid, whether they like it or not.
Amen.
Like it or lump it, they're stuck. And many times my dad said, I brought you into this world, I can take you out.
Amen. That's good for you.
I live through it. But something happens when a person gets saved. There is more than just getting saved that takes place. Brother Don, come on up here for a second. I'm going to have you just stand up here for a second. Stand behind me because I don't want to see all that ugly in one spot.
Amen.
Don knew it was coming, all right? Don't stick your tongue out at him, all right? Because he'll stick his out back at you. It was just, about 4 months ago that you got saved, isn't it? About around that. Brother Don came here on, a Sunday night, first time, came to church and got saved.
Amen.
Boy, came back on Wednesday night.
Amen.
Then he went on Thursday and helped Ellen, helped Marcia move. And then Saturday, I went to his house, and he wasn't there, but his wife was, and I won her to Christ.
Amen.
He was back Sunday morning. She came Sunday morning. They got baptized Sunday night. And Don's been here 50 how many services?
54
services and not missed a thing.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Don's learned over the last 54 services. He got more than just got saved.
That's right. Yep.
There was more than just the fact that he knew for sure he was going to heaven. Guess what he learned? Number one, he learned, Don, your sins are forgiven. Every last sin you ever did, past, present, and future, got cared for. Did you know the moment you get saved, all of your sins cared for? I'm talking about everything you did do wrong, everything you're thinking about doing wrong, and everything you will think about doing wrong. It's all been cared for. In the moment Don got saved, his sin was washed away. When he stands before God, he'll stand before God as a sinless person. He'll be as sinless as Jesus. Don, did you know you're as saved as Jesus Christ is?
Yes.
Man, that's exciting to me. I've been saved for 47 years, Brother Mike, and I'm as saved as Jesus is.
Yes.
You talk about saved, that's saved. Did you know that when you got saved, Don, not only did he wash your sins away, but God added Jesus' righteousness to your life?
Yes. Amen.
That means this, all of the righteousness that Jesus was, God put your name at the top of the list.
Praise the Lord.
You actually, when God looks at you now, Don, because you got saved, he sees the life of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
He sees all the good and none of the bad.
Amen.
See, there's more to salvation than just getting the bad forgiven. You have to have the good added. But we're not good enough because we're sinners. So Jesus said, I'll give you my goodness. I'll impute my righteousness to you. Not only that, you'll get to stand before God one day as though you had never sinned.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I don't know about you, but I've done a heap. I get to stand before God someday, and he's going to say, what sins are you talking about?
Amen.
I don't see any. All I see is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Did you know, Don, when you got saved on that Sunday night, God wrote your name down in the book of life in heaven?
Yes.
My name is written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven. And it'll never be scratched out. It's never going to be erased. It's written in permanent ink or blood. I have no idea, but it's not going to ever be removed. Ooh, we're just getting started here. Did you know that when you got saved, Don, you got born into the family of God and you got spiritually adopted?
Yes.
You got double duty. That means this, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Did you know that everything God has, you become an heir to?
Wow, absolutely.
Now that's enough to make you just about want to shout.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm about to take my shoes off. Did you know don't do that. Did you know the moment you got saved that the Holy Spirit of God moved inside you?
Yes, sir.
Don't get mad at me for saying this. Jesus doesn't come into your heart, the Holy Spirit does.
Amen.
Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves into your life. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Therefore glorify God in your body, which is God's. You see, the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit works within the confines of God's words to teach you his words, to guide you, to lead you, to comfort you, to help you. Right now, Joyce Hines is sitting with her mama on her deathbed. And I was there, Brother Barnes and I were there yesterday. And mama's 94 years old, real close to going to heaven. And they're ready for her to go. She's had a tough go these last couple years. Can I tell you something? Death isn't that bad. I said, don't cry too much. She doesn't want to stay here. She's ready to go. One of the last things she said verbally was, I'm ready to go to heaven.
Amen.
She said, I'm just ready to go. About last week, she said something like that. And that was the last word she spoke. Can I tell you something? Now, I'm not ready to take the next trip, but I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to hurt when I go. If I don't have to hurt, here we go, man. Can I tell you something? When you got saved, the Holy Spirit regened your spirit. The word is regenerate. It's literally the word regeneticized. Did you know that when you got saved, you got the holy, eternal genetics of God inside you? That's what will allow you to live forever. That's why a lost person has to die and go to hell, because they have not been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. They will be in a state of eternal death and suffering because they have not been regened. When you got saved, bless God, you got the genetics of God in you. And you get to live forever. Whew, that's good stuff. Did you know because of that you became a high priest and you have direct access to God? You don't need to go through anybody else. You know, you don't have to pray through the preacher, the pope, or the archbishop that's in prison. You don't have to pray through Mary. Well, Mary was the mother of God. And if you really want to touch the heart, no, she wasn't the mother of God. There is no mother of God. She birthed the body of Jesus, but she's not the mother of God. Everybody doing okay? Well, I heard some religious, I don't care what some religious idiot said with $500,000 grapefruit on his head. He also stands before you and tells you he's the vicar of heaven. And can I tell you something? He's preaching wrong doctrine. You don't get to heaven by joining the church.
Amen.
You don't get to heaven by keeping the sacrament. You get to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
Not only that, but the Bible says that you become set apart. You get sanctified. This pulpit is a piece of wood. That's all it is. Some oak and some other pieces of wood. My dad put it together for me back in 2013. I got a little sign there. Yeah, I forget what year it was. I'm preaching, man. Stay out of my preaching. So, 6 years ago, my dad made this pulpit. Did you know this pulpit's not holy, but it is sanctified? It's set apart. There's nothing holy about it, just an old piece of wood. But it's been cared for, and I've abused it. Amen. He had to put a new top on it because I broke the other one. And can I tell you, it's true. you had to go to thicker wood because I broke the half inch, amen? Now, can I tell you something? It's not holy. But it is set apart. It is a special piece of wood for a special purpose. It's not a place where the kids ought to be playing hide and seek.
Amen.
It's not a place where we should just sit on the edge of it and just casually do something. It's set aside for preaching. Now, if I sit on it with my pulpit, it's my, you let me do it, all right? But past that, it's for preaching purposes. But do you know, during the week, I don't just stand here and do my business on the pulpit. You say, why? Because it's set aside. It's set apart for preaching. It's not holy. You know, we didn't sprinkle spoofle dust on it and, you know, holy, holy, holy. There's no smoke and everything else. Yeah, we'll poke the holes in the wood later, amen? But the Bible says that it is set apart just like we as Christians are set apart from the world. Now watch this, the sermon. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, it also says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. You won't believe this, but he had long curly hair before he got saved. Just the day of his salvation. I won't tell you all the story, but just so you know, he and his wife really weren't together when he came. But God made a big difference.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
By the way, they're going to be the first wedding renewal in our new building.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Yeah. Can I tell you something? What happened? He became a new creature. He and Debbie sat in my office back here a few weeks ago. And she said, preacher, I'm not even sure this is the same man I married. I said, he's not. And you're not the same woman he married because you got saved too.
Amen.
Man, they're having a good time. They're as nuts as the rest of us. He's going to have to find more medicine. I mean, now wait a minute. The Bible says, though, all these things were added and more. But then he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, we're then ambassadors for Christ. We got all of these things, and then God says, Your old was passed away, all things become new, we are therefore now ambassadors for Christ. A lot happened that Sunday night. You didn't know it was going to happen, didn't it?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad it happened?
Never
yeah, buddy. You got a lot of things you didn't even know you were going to get.
A lot of things happen that
yeah.
Didn't even know
until... Yeah, trust me, it keeps happening like that. Can I tell you something, though? Now that you got all those things, God says, I expect you to be an ambassador. Because we're all who have gotten saved ambassadors for Christ. You can have a seat. Thank you, Brother Don.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Second, yes, you can give him a hand. God tells us that we become ambassadors for Christ. Oh, it doesn't change the fact that we're on our way to heaven. You don't get saved by being an ambassador for Christ. Just like you don't get saved by doing good things. There are things I do because of what my last name is and what my position is. There are things I can and cannot do as a preacher. There are things, if I need somebody cussed out, I'll just call Bob.
Amen.
Or I'll call my mom. I'm teasing. No lunch for me today. Can I tell you something? There are things that, as a Christian, we should or should not do because we're Christians. It's not because we do those things to become a Christian. It's because we're a Christian, we do not do those things. My wife and I will celebrate 30 years of marriage this June. Do you know that because I'm married, it means I don't go out dating other people?
Amen.
You say, why, preacher? Because I'm married.
Amen.
God said one woman only. Believe me, one's enough. Y'all, everybody doing all right? You know, Solomon was supposed to be wise, but he couldn't have been that wise. 700 wives and 300 substitutes. Forget that. 1,000 pair of pantyhose in the bathroom at one time. Forget it. Yeah, 1,000 mother-in-laws, that's a fool right there, brother. And if Peter was the first pope, How could he have a mother-in-law, not a wife? That's idiocy, all right? Now, you have to understand something. We have to understand, as a Christian, we are ambassadors for Christ. God himself gives us an official title as ambassador. And I must hurry, but I want to teach you something today. The word ambassador means this. It is a word where you represent the authority of another country. You speak on behalf as the authority of another country in a foreign land. Can I tell you something? Whew. I'm about to shout, Brother Shane. I got saved long time ago. And I've been representing Jesus. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Say, what is it? I represent God in heaven.
Amen.
I am an ambassador for Christ. Is that not where he's at?
Right.
Guess what? I represent the country of heaven.
Amen.
Now, thank God I'm an American.
Amen.
I thank God when you cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue.
Amen.
I believe when the national anthem's played, you stand up.
Amen.
You take
Amen.
Your hat off, Amen. You put your hand over your heart and give it respect. Amen. Don't kneel like a bunch of idiots.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Man, I don't care how much money the spoiled brat makes playing ball.
That's right.
I think LeBron James needs somebody to shove a basketball down his throat.
Amen.
I think Kaepernick needs a couple footballs planted somewhere too.
Amen.
Whine and cry because he can't play football, and he thinks it's because he kneeled at, welcome to America.
Amen.
Just
right.
Because you think you have talent doesn't mean somebody has to hire you.
That's right.
There was a famous man that once said, you're fired. He now sits in the White House. An ambassador is one who represents a country with full authority of that country to speak on behalf of that country. Can I tell you something? As a Christian, when you speak those words, you're his ambassador.
That's right. Amen.
You know, as a preacher, I'm an ambassador for God. I stand before you representing what he said and what he is to tell you what he said. And I stand in his place. I am not God.
Amen.
I don't speak ex cathedra. And any man that says he is an antichrist and he's wrong. I don't stand in the place of God. I stand as a representative of him, speaking on his behalf, using his words.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? We get saved. When we get saved, God officially gives us the authority to represent him. He gives us the responsibility to represent him. That's why earlier in our announcements, I said it's everybody's job to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Everybody doing okay? That's what soul winning is all about. It's our job to represent him and tell others about him. What good is it if nobody knows you're the ambassador?
That's right. Good.
See, you say, well, what am I going to say? He gave you a whole book to talk about. That's your commission right there. That's your authority. That's what you talk about. Not what you want to say. Lots of preacherettes having sermonettes sucking on their cigarette in the pulpit today in churches all over America, but they're not speaking on behalf of God. They'll have a little talk with Jesus, but they're not getting much done.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? We're to speak on behalf of our King. By the way, the Bible says that Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King eternal, immortal, the only high God. Can I tell you something? We're not to rewrite his words. We're not to reinterpret his words. We're to use the very words that he gave us. By the way, that's the King James Bible. I'm not going to go into a long study of it, but let me tell you something. It's the King James Bible.
Right.
Well, there's so many out there. You only need one King James Bible. If you don't have one, see me. I'll get you one. Well, our culture has dictated that we change what we believe. Brother Mike, you're going to like this one. I'm ready to hear you shout on this one. God got a hold of me this week. I sent this to a couple preachers. Brother Fugit says, I hear a sermon in that one. I said, too late, I'm preaching it Sunday. Do you know what the root word of culture is?
Culture.
Cult.
That's right.
Oh. We have churches changing standards and what the Bible says, becoming cultish. Well, you can't do that. This is 2019. I'm glad you know what year it is. Come back next week. We'll find out what month it is.
Amen.
I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't say because it's 2019, we change what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
Notice the root word is cult. The word cult means you overemphasize one thing above everything else. Churches today are more worldly than the world was 35, 40 years ago.
That's right.
Well, we've got to be like the world to reach the world. No, you don't. The church means called out assembly. We're not supposed to look like the world in the church.
That's right.
It's, don't get mad at me. We're not supposed to wear our PJs to church.
Amen.
This isn't the living room. This isn't the restroom. This isn't your bedroom. It's God's house.
Amen.
We're supposed to do the best we have. And it may be a clean pair of blue jeans. Amen. And a clean t-shirt. All right, come. There's no dress requirement to come to church. But may I say this? It's not supposed to be an informal meeting. Be a cold day where the booger man lives before I wear a turtleneck sweater and sit on a chair with a little Garth Brooks microphone and teach you the word
Amen.
Of God. Bless God, I ain't wearing no dress either when I preach.
Amen.
And that thing be up over my head and embarrass all of us. I ain't putting no dress on for nobody.
Amen.
I ain't going to wiggle when I walk, and if I do, fellas, take me out back, take my own gun and shoot me.
I promise.
Yeah, buddy. You see, once you get saved, you're to represent Jesus. You're to represent heaven. You're not supposed to represent what you want. We're not supposed to do what we feel is best. No, we're supposed to do what he commanded us to do.
Amen.
It's not a bad matter of how I feel. Do you know I don't like preaching on hell? I've been preaching for 38 years. I hate preaching on hell. But I do it. I told Brother Barnes yesterday, walked into Joyce's mom's family's home where she was laid out on the bed near heaven. I said, man, I hate these visits. Because there ain't nothing I can say to help anybody. I can't stop it. Walked out, and I told Brother Barnes, I said, man, I feel like I failed. But there's nothing you can do. Nothing. I was able to give a few encouraging words. Tried to love on them, but I can't fix the problem.
That's right.
But I know this, as soon as she leaves this world, she's going to open up her eyes in heaven and have a spell.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? If we represent heaven, listen to this statement. This is going to be harsh. You ready? We represent heaven. We represent Jesus. Then why do we live like the devil on our way to hell? I tried every which way I know to soften that thing, but I just couldn't. Too many of us live like the devil, headed towards hell. And we're supposed to be representing him as an ambassador. So, an ambassador represents another country with full authority. Did you know I have full authority to preach and do exactly what I just have done? Say why? Because I've used that. I can give you my opinion. I showed you what God said.
Good.
It doesn't matter what my opinion is. Opinions are like noses. Everybody got one. You pick which one you want. Just don't pick your friends. Amen? But you can wipe yours on your own couch. All right? Can I tell you something? We are to represent God himself. We are to represent heaven, not ourselves. Well, I just don't see it that way. Guess what? God didn't enlist you to see it your way. He enlisted you to see it his way.
Amen.
There's a lot of things in life I don't see the way I should see. I'm colorblind. My wife tells me things that are colors. I'll believe you, but I don't see it that way. Yeah, shut up. I do because my secretary and my wife helped me pick it out. I have a shirt that I wore the other day, and I asked my wife three times, what color is that shirt? She told me. I said, I don't see it that way. I asked her a second time. She said, I told you the first time. I asked her the third time. I said, do me a favor, pick a tie that goes with it, because it still looks like a different color to me. I don't see what she sees in it. Now, me, the shirt and tie, it didn't go together. But nobody walked around and said, preacher, it wasn't that way. You don't even know which one it was. No, not the one today. No, it wasn't. But it's amazing. I just didn't see what color it was. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't true. You see, just because I don't see it that way doesn't mean it's not so. Too many of us have spiritual blindnesses. And you don't see. By, you say, why? Because you're a sinner like I am. We don't have God's viewpoint. We represent Him. Let's do it His way, not our way.
Amen.
Church isn't supposed to be Burger King. Have it your own way.
That's right.
It's military chow. Come here, we flop it on there, whether you like it or not. Push it down the hatch.
Amen.
So, we know what an ambassador is, number one. Number two, an ambassador lives in a foreign country. Did you know once you got saved, you're living in a foreign country?
Amen.
John chapter 15, let me read some verses to you, and I think this will be a blessing to you. But John chapter 15, verse number 19, the Bible says this. As soon as I get there, the Bible says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you.
Right.
Huh. Did you know there's a lot of people that don't like what I'm preaching today? No, it's hard to believe. Say why? Because it's not what the world says.
Right.
It doesn't matter what I say. Brother Joe, can you shut that? It sounds like there's other folks here. John chapter 17, the Bible says in verse number 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hey, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. Did you know we're not supposed to live like the world?
Right.
If I were a representative as an ambassador for our country to a foreign country, let's say I went to China. Number one, I would be tall. but did you know that if I went to the United States Embassy in China, that I'm not supposed to live like the Chinese live there? I'm to live like an American. I represent our country in a foreign land. Did you know when you get saved, you're living in a foreign land called the world?
You're right.
And you're to represent heaven. Therefore, we're not to live like the world in the world.
Right.
Everybody doing all right? We live in the world, but we're to live like the country in which we represent, which is heaven. We're to speak up in that foreign country for our country. Did you know you don't have to be bold? You just have to speak up for your country. How about we speak up for Jesus? How about we speak up for America?
Amen.
You see, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 20 talks about, and let me turn there very quickly, and I'll read it to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 20, the Bible says this, there it is, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Hey, preacher, you're pretty bold. You go around saying just about anything to anybody. Can I tell you why? Because it's not me, it's God's words. Do you know you don't have to be afraid to go soul winning? It's not your words. Let me say something. We're not to let the foreign country from keeping us from speaking the truth.
That's good.
Everybody doing all right?
Yeah,
I'm not to let the world keep me from telling the truth. Now hang on. I'm not supposed to become like the world to get them the truth either. I'm supposed to live in the foreign country like I would live in the home country. So as an ambassador, I am supposed to not just represent, but I'm to live in that foreign country as I would in the home country. Did you know you're supposed to live heaven on earth? Let me ask you a question. Is home heaven on earth? Or is it more like where the boogeyman lives? Everybody doing okay? You see, we are to stand up and speak out for Christ. We've got new people here, and we have new people every week. Can I tell you something? When I go soul winning, I'm not responsible for people getting saved. I'm just responsible to get the gospel out.
Amen.
I believe the more you get it out, the more people will get saved.
That's right.
And we've had over 3,000 people get saved in 6 years, but can I tell you something? Every time I go soul winning, somebody doesn't get saved. But do you know for the last 6.5 years, we've had somebody saved every week? Say, how's that work? Because we keep getting the gospel out. And the more you get the gospel out, the more people get saved. But you don't get anybody saved. Brother Larry, if you and I go knock on doors and somebody gets saved, and you did the talking, guess what? You didn't get them saved. God did. Amen. You just happened to be the mailman delivering the package. Amen. Isn't that what soul winning's all about? My responsibility ends getting the package to the door. What they do with the package, they can open it, they can enjoy it, or they can throw it in the trash. They don't even have to open it. But guess what? My responsibility ended as I gave it out. That's what soul winning's all about. Everybody doing okay? I'm not. I've been around preachers. I know a preacher. I could name his name. I won't do it. But he told his staff, if you don't have somebody saved, down the aisle, and baptized every Sunday, you don't get your paycheck. And he got in my grill one day, and I got right back in his grill and asked him to show me in the Bible where that's at. He got mad. I was an assistant pastor at the time. He was a pastor. I happened to have counseled his assistant pastors, and he didn't even know it. I find nowhere in the Bible where I'm commanded to have somebody saved. I am commanded to get the gospel out. Everybody see where I'm headed here? I don't put any demands on people to, well, bless God, you got to have 3 people saved this week. Wrong answer. I do want you going out and telling somebody about Jesus. We're going to hire an intern for the summer, a young man named Michael Dorsey. He'll be here in May. You're going to help the preacher out a little bit. I've told him, I said, you will go soul winning. He said, I'm used to that, Brother Bush. I grew up in a preacher's home. I said, good. I said, you're going to train others to go soul winning. He said, good, I'm ready. He said, how many people should I have saved? I said, that's not yours to decide. That's God's.
Amen.
And I began to teach him. I said, now, if everything goes well, I'd like to see you put 3 or 4 families in our church. I said, if you could put 3 or 4 families in our church, it'll pay your way. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
I had a goal as an assistant pastor for 23 years. If I could put 10 families in church, I could pay my salary. So I tried in every church I was in to put 10 families in church every year to pay my salary. I felt like I was trying to earn my keep. Everybody doing all right? As pastor, I keep trying to fill up everybody I chase off. You say, why? I got to earn my keep. We got bills to pay. We got a building to build. We got a second building to build one of these days. Because I plan on filling the first one up. Can I tell you something? We're not to be like the world. We're to speak up for God in the world.
That's good.
We're not to let the church be like the world. We're supposed to be separate from the world. Number 3, and I'm finished. An ambassador has an embassy where they reside and work. Welcome to the Grace Baptist Embassy. Church is kind of like an embassy. It is a place set apart within a foreign country where the ambassador resides and works. It's kind of a called out, set aside assembly.
Yeah.
Sounds like a church, doesn't it? You see, it's a small piece of land and housing in a foreign country. That's what the church is. I've been to churches and, they're different than ours. Every one of them is. I'll promise you that. But the church is to be like an embassy for the ambassadors to go out to do their job in that foreign country. You see, it's a safe haven for others. If there were, let's say I was in China and there are American citizens in China and they have a problem, if they can make it to the embassy, it's the ambassador's job to help them as an official representative of that nation to help them. The Wesco family, when they were in Africa, I forget which country it is all of a sudden. Cameroon. They had just been there for a few weeks, married man with his wife and 8 kids. Hadn't been there much more than about 10 or 12 days. They were riding to the store and 3 terrorists jumped out and shot and killed the husband right in front of his wife and one of his children. Vice President Pence helped to get the Wesco family back. You know how he did it? He worked through the ambassador of Cameroon to help them and get them back to the United States. It all went through the United States Embassy in Cameroon. We worked it through official legal entities, but they had to get the family back to the embassy to get the family back to the United States. Grace Baptist Church, we're an embassy for hurting people. Amen. This church is a hospital, not a museum. Amen. You're going to get tired of the preacher saying that, but I don't give a rip. This is a place where people who hurt can come and get help. It's not a place to put somebody on display. And by the way, we're going to reach a lot of hurting people. I'll say it again. It's about that time. Said it a couple weeks ago. I'll say it again. If one of our young people messes up, I'm out and stand them in front of the church and tell them all the bad things they did. It's none of your stinking business. Keep your cotton-picking, gossipy nose out of it. Why don't you restore them? Why don't you help them? Why don't you love on them instead of kicking them in the teeth? I got no respect for that. I got more respect for a polecat than I do that. By the way, polecat's a skunk. Just stand by Brother Randy's car. He ran over one yesterday. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, don't park near him. Right? It was Randy, not Leanne. I heard that. Yep. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Too many churches want to put everybody on display and say, look how perfect we are. That's a bunch of trash. Everybody's a sinner. That's like one pig in the mud saying, not as dirty as the other pig in the mud. Either way, you're both in the mud. And guess what? You can't forgive their sin anyway. Only God can. So why do you need to know what it is? Well, you're just covering up people's sin. Thank God it's covered by the blood of Jesus. Bless God. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. By the way, when it's your kid, you're going to want somebody to cover it up. When it's your family and you're hurting, you're going to want somebody to help you, not kick you in the teeth. And guess what? Those arms are there. I'll help you up. I don't care how far down you go. Doesn't matter. You can't get far enough away from God and still be alive. But I wouldn't help you. I've said it before. My worst enemy can walk through that door and that they're welcome to be here. Bless God. I don't have any bitterness towards them. If God can forgive them, I better forgive them long before God does. I don't care what they do to me. Can I tell you something? God loves you no matter what you do.
Amen.
Thank God my parents love me no matter what I do. Even when I tell booger jokes. Yeah. Well, I know it's hard. Trust me. Let me share something with you. My oldest son, Josh. Josh preached here over Christmas. My son Josh was a piece of work, let me tell you. I wasn't sure if he was going to be the next Jack Hiles or Jack the Ripper. For a while I was wondering. Josh went to Bible college, ended up getting expelled, and honestly didn't live right for about a year and a half. heartbreak. Had to kick him out of my own home. Had younger brothers and sisters that, or younger brother and sister, not sisters. A little at the end got me in trouble. Amazing what one letter can do, amen? But after about a year and a half, he called me and said, "Dad, I'm tired of running." I ran to meet him. I didn't let him move back home. I moved him in with someone. Made him prove himself for 6 months. He got himself right. He went back to Kentucky and met with Brother Fugit, Dr. Jorgensen, and another administrator. He said, "This is what I've done. I blew it while I was here. Blew it while I went, went home." He said, "But I've gotten right." He said, "Would you give me another chance?" Brother Fugit said, "I'll give you a chance." A few years ago, Josh graduated. Amen. He was ordained. Married. Got a sweet, wonderful wife. Will this July be 5 years they've been married? Working on adopting a child. They've lost two babies. He's an assistant pastor. Preaching all the time. He was about 6 o'clock this morning. Sent me a note. He sent me a copy of his Sunday school lesson about the ant. This is what he said. "Most of this lesson came from something you taught me many years ago in chapel. Probably the first school chapel message I vividly remember. He said, I was talking to a man this week and he was blown away by the fact that somebody my age understood what real work was. And he made the statement that you don't understand at a young age, nor can you appreciate at a young age being taught a work ethic." "Dad, we were not able to spend a lot of time playing together. And as a child, that was hard, and I didn't understand it. But today, as a grown man, I'm truly grateful that you taught me how to work." Yes. "Thanks, Dad. I love you." Can I tell you something? I thank God I represented him. I didn't always approve of what he did, but we hung in there. We gave it all we had. My son Jeff works for the Department of Corrections in Kentucky. He got a call this last week. The warden called him, deputy warden called him up. He said, "Dad, I thought I got fired." He said, "I didn't know what he did, but I thought I got..." He said, "You don't get calls from the deputy warden." He said, "You get called to the warden's office, you're in trouble." He said, "I thought I was going to have to change my uniform on the way." He said, "I got there and the deputy said, sit down." He said, "Oh, man." He said, "Jeff, I know you just got off probation a month ago." He said, "You've only been with us 7 months." He said, "I know your CO has talked to you, but I got to have you join the critical response team. It's like the SWAT team for prisons. We call it CRT. He said, "I know you're supposed to work for the prison for a year before you apply." He said, "But in your case," he said, "the warden and I are both sending letters and your CO." He said, "We're erasing those 5 months. Please try out." Whew. By the way, I'm just as proud of him as I am my other son. You say, why? They learned how to work. They love God. Huh. You see, we're supposed to live right no matter where we're at. Oh, my son Jeff in the prison, he's had to turn in 3 fellow workers for doing wrong. 2 of which have been fired and one's on IA right now. They call, my dad will appreciate this. Jeff's got a nose and a sense for things. We used to call him Hoover Tracker. He can see a spot of blood at 300 yards out in the woods, and he's just amazing. He has more drug collars in the jail than all of the other guards put together right now for the last month. He's just good at it. Say why? Because when you live right, error exposes itself.
Amen.
He's representing another country. He represents another authority. And may I say this, our church is going to be filled with people who hurt, who are sinners, and aren't perfect. Well, I know somebody in your church, and I saw them do something wrong. Well, stick around. You'll see the preacher do something wrong. Stick around. We'll watch you do something wrong. You're not as perfect as you think you are. Quit looking down your pharisaical snoot, because eventually you're going to hit bottom too. There's no nail prints there, folks. None of us are worthy. Thank God we got saved.
Amen.
Thank God our sins can be washed away.
Amen.
Thank God we represent a king and a kingdom of another country.
Amen.
Thank God we have an embassy here to where we can come and get the help we need.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. We're God's official representatives. We are his ambassadors. We should talk like, we should walk like, we should dress like, we should act like we represent him, not the devil.
Amen.
We should represent him, not our own way. Let me ask you this question. Are you sure you're going to heaven today? If not, you could become an ambassador for Christ. But you have to get saved. If you've been saved and been away from the Lord, let me ask you a question. So all you got to do is come back to the embassy. Everything's all right. We'll help you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Please keep your eyes closed and give everybody the privacy they deserve. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. I will not embarrass you just like I did not embarrass those. Is there one that today would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure. Listen to me. I won't come to you. I won't call your name. I won't call you out. I will not embarrass you. Do you say, I don't know that, but I'd like to know it someday? Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tucked inside that sermon was something I needed today personally? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Hands everywhere. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano will be playing. When the piano begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you raised your hand and said, I don't know for sure, or maybe you didn't raise your hand and you should have, we'll have somebody take the Bible. If you're a man, a man. If a lady, a lady. Show you in just 2 or 3 minutes how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you raised your hand and said, preacher, that sermon was for me. How about you move as far forward as you can, or use your chair as an altar, and just get it right with the Lord. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can care for it today. If you've been saved and baptized, like to join our church, pull no punches. We're old-fashioned. Which sees what you got. But we'd love to have you.